It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Got one friend, and one friend is morning.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Tuesday is in the books. You can put it away. Two down, three to go with this work week. We take you home on a stormy Tuesday evening with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, giving away four packs of tickets, Indy 500 qualifying. If you'd like to be this hour's winner, we're changing things up a bit. We're actually putting a new word out there, and the word this hour is racing. If you'd like to win a four-pack of tickets to qualifying, they can be used either day of qualifying, Saturday or Sunday. Each ticket is good for one admittance, so if you go twice on Saturday, you got two more tickets to go again on Sunday. You could use all four the same day, but the key word to text and win is racing.
I like it. And shout out to our winner from hour number one, Alex B. Shout out to you, my friend. You've got four tickets to Indy qualifying.
We are going to be giving those tickets away every hour all week long. So just stick with us. If you don't win this hour, you'll have a chance to do it all over again on a Wednesday hump day edition of the Sports Rush, because we'll do it the 4 o'clock hour coming up tomorrow. We'll be back doing it on Thursday, on Friday. Plenty of four packs of tickets to give away to Indy 500 qualifying with the Sports Rush at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Last night, Pacers disappoint. Don't get the job done. And we can blame the officials all we want, and we certainly have, because the officials played a very key role in this game. But the Pacers, I thought, took the right attitude after the game. Miles Turner said, we have to be better than that. We can't put ourselves in a position where the officials can cost us a game. But ultimately, those were bad calls.
They were bad calls. I do respect the way the Pacers handled themselves after the game in the post-game interviews, a la Joel Embiid, the last series, just absolutely crying, head down.
Pacers don't have the money that Joel Embiid has to pay the fines. So maybe the Pacers were just being polite so they didn't get hit with an Adam Silver notice this morning by a Federal Express. But seriously,
right.
I thought the Pacers, to a man, took on Coach Carlisle's approach, which was, yes, those calls didn't go our way, and we're disappointed we didn't get those calls. They were keys to the game, but we can't put ourselves in a position where the officials can make a call late that costs us a chance to win a ball game. But as a fan, where you don't have control of how the team plays, all you're doing is sitting and watching, and the team gets a possession with just seconds remaining, I mean like 15, 16 seconds remaining, and you come down, come off a screen, and they call that crap an offensive foul for a moving screen after you just had DiVincenzo chuck a guy at the other end with a two-handed forearm. I mean, it would have been called a slash in hockey, or a cross-check in hockey, and instead that goes without being called. And nobody complained about that. Nobody complained that they didn't call that, because the NBA doesn't call it. Now, somebody texted in earlier and said it was a moving screen, it was an illegal screen. But what we're saying is, yes, by the book, he may not have been completely, perfectly motionless and totally set. But in the NBA, they don't call it. And to call it in a playoff game, on a final possession, a one-point contest, that is what I think upsets everyone, is it breaks the norm. Because everybody just wants an official to call the game like they call it, not only in that game, but all year long. And that was not a call that was consistent with what they call all season. I mean, basically, you got to come out and run over a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, you have to have a pancake block. You've got to have a Quentin Nelson pancake and deck a guy. That wasn't. Miles Turner came up, put on the brakes, was 95% stationary. He didn't stick out a knee. He didn't stick out a leg, an arm, a shoulder. He took the contact right in the middle of his body. And he might have been moving toward the guy slightly, but that, you know, that didn't make a difference in what type of a screen it was. Because, you know, to me, a moving screen is one where you move to your left, move to your right to kind of, you know, chuck the side of a guy when you're not in the right position to set the screen. Miles Turner was perfectly set up to set that screen. And then they call the foul. Well, the problem is it goes to replay. And yes, there is contact, and by the book, there is a foul, so it's a tough play to overturn and say, well, I don't know how we say it's not a foul, because clearly he moved into him slightly, but it certainly hurt the Pacers. And that may not have been the worst of the calls, because the kick, non-kick call, where the officials called it a kick on Aaron Nesmith, that probably hurt as much or worse than the call against Miles Turner, because clearly Nesmith hit it with his hand. He reached down with his hand, deflected the ball, and the Pacers were just about to take off on a 4-on-2 going the other direction in a tie game. It was a tie game at that point. And what happens? They call the kick. Knicks take it out of bounds. They hit a three. All of a sudden now, they're up a triple, and it turns into a five-point swing. Totally changes the game late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So do you feel good, or are you concerned? You know, and here's the other thing, Adam. A lot of people want to come up with a conspiracy theories that the NBA doesn't want the Pacers to win this series because they want the big market team from New York to beat the small market team from Indianapolis. Okay, and you know, I get why people would think such a thing, because it probably does help TV ratings if you've got a big market team. And for the Knicks, you want to, you know, they want the Knicks, they want the Lakers, they want some of the big teams in the big cities to be major draws. It hurts the NBA that the Bulls have been irrelevant for a number of years. But it's certainly good for the league if you have a good Boston, a good New York, a good Chicago, a good LA, and then go on to Dallas, Miami. And all those teams are relevant, right?
Right.
Except maybe the Bulls. But but the Knicks have been irrelevant, and now it looks like they could be moving on. And so everybody wants to think it's a conspiracy. The NBA has the script written, and they want the Knicks to advance. They want it to be the Knicks and Boston, because that's, you know, two storied franchises with great histories, two big markets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't see it.
Well, I certainly don't think that was in the head of the official when
No.
he decided to blow the whistle and just completely mess up the game and make a rotten call. but you can see when these types of things happen, where a bad official makes bad calls in the final moments of a game, why those conspiracy theories exist. This is exactly the case. You can't make the conspiracy theory go away
No.
when you then have evidence of a conspiracy. I mean, that's what we've got. We've got calls that were made to help decide a game, and maybe they were just officials' mistakes. But if you are of the belief that there's a conspiracy theory, this certainly would be evidence that you would put in court to show that, yes, this is how the NBA is fixing games. I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't think that they're trying to fix games, but if you want to believe it, you now have evidence that kind of supports your theory.
Yeah, due to poor refereeing. I'm taking a look at the NBA's last two-minute report from last night's game, taking a look at the illegal screen.
Well, the screen is a problem because they replayed it, which means now the two-minute report can't come back and say our official called it, our replay center called it, but we think they might have made a mistake.
Right. It says Turner turns into DiVincenzo's path and does not give him time and distance to change direction prior to the illegal contact.
What they're saying is that he came up and actually made the contact, chucking him from behind before DiVincenzo
yep.
had a chance to get his motion. So in other words, you got to give him enough space to at least start his motion that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I mean, you know, but we also talked about Turner being a guy that runs on legs of a newborn giraffe, where, you know, it's just all wobbly and he can't put on the brakes and he can't get going. He looks very awkward sometimes when he's out there running around. But the other thing too, and we mentioned this in the first hour,
mm-hmm.
a lot of this is on Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
Because Haliburton has to make sure that his big man is set and in position to apply the screen before you run your defender right into him.
Right.
And so, that's a timing play where you've got to time it right. And Haliburton might have been a half step too quick. But really, that is not a call they generally make, especially when you've got a late possession and you want the players to decide the game. A borderline call like that usually goes without a whistle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yep, they viewed it and they viewed it a correct call. It's interesting. The only incorrect non-call in the last 20 seconds or so, it says there should have been an offensive foul on Miles Turner from 10 to 6 seconds left. Apparently, it says Turner extends into DiVincenzo's path and delivers contact with his side during a screen. So there should have been another.
That's a different screen.
That's a different screen.
Really?
Incorrect non-call. There should have been another offensive foul on.
Well, they obviously admitted they made a mistake on the kicked ball.
Oh, they did. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the other one, again, a play that went to replay. And so it's hard for the NBA's 2-minute report to counter it. But the Brunson foul on Miles Turner, to me, that has to be called when a guy that it's a smaller defender goes up from 3 steps away mm-hmm. and his momentum carries him right into Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically takes away the whole right side of his body from his shoulder down and then blocks the shot. It's like, okay, that's not marginal contact. That's pretty direct contact. You cannot call it marginal. And they ended up ruling that it was marginal contact by Jalen Brunson and actually overturned the call that was made.
Yeah.
Ruling it a foul on Brunson, which is the shocking part of that. Also, we want to give you a chance right now to be part of our Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. You know how it works. You can play the game by calling us at 447-8500, 447-8500. We're looking for caller number 3 today. So you might have to call us multiple times, but caller number 3 at 447-8500, area code 260, is going to be today's contestant, Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Once again, it's 260-447-8500. Also, last night, the NBA, Denver, in a huge hole. They're down 2-0 after they got blown out at home by the Rudy Gobert-less Minnesota Timberwolves. And I guess here's the biggest question. First of all, what do you think about Rudy Gobert not being there? But the biggest question is, can Denver come back? Have you decided the series is over and the defending champs are going down? They are down 2-0 after dropping the first 2 games at home last night. Of course, Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns were terrific, 27 points apiece. You had Jokic with 5 for 13 from the field, 16 points, 16 rebounds. Jamal Murray, though, what the heck? 3 for 18 from the field, scored just 8 points, just unbelievably bad game. And he whiffed on a throw of the heating pad that he threw out there, his little heating element, threw it like a football, and an incomplete pass. The NBA announced, as expected, when the team is down 2-0, they're not going to suspend Jamal Murray.
Shocker.
Yeah. If there's a regular season, he'd have at least a game or two. They're not going to suspend Murray for the toss, which, if anything deserves a suspension, this is the type of action that should deserve a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not getting a suspension. He'll be available for Game 3 when the series moves into Minneapolis. Coming up, I believe, on Friday night or Wednesday night.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe Wednesday.
Maybe Wednesday. We do have a caller on the line.
All right. We're ready to play some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Let's get over to the phone line, find out who we've got to play today. Who's this?
Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. Staying dry? Are you staying out of storms?
Yep. Sunny where I'm at.
All right. Let's. You know how to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia?
Yep.
Should be... Should be easy then. We'll get through it here on the Tuesday. Let's go, Adam.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right, let me get into clue number one here. All right. We're going to start off with Canadian football, Brett.
Okay.
This
like Canadian bacon.
This year's Grey Cup, the Ottawa Rough Riders win 22-18. Over the Edmonton Eskimos.
Okay, Jeremy, I don't know if you know, you do have an option here. You can take a stab at this, or you can pass it to me.
I'm going to pass.
I'll pass it back.
You can't do that.
Oh, that's right. I can't do that. That's not part of the rules. I will go with 1999. Jeremy, what do you got?
01.
All right, clue number two.
Man, we got to get in the other studio. We got to get our buzzer back.
The 79th Five Nations Rugby Championship Series in this year is a five-way tie with all teams winning two matches each.
Okay, this is plenty of drama here because I'm sure we're just on the edge of our seats knowing the answer. Jeremy, you get to go first.
97.
I will go with, I'll go with 1990.
All right, let's go to clue number three. This year's Stanley Cup, the Montreal Canadiens defeat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-2 this year's Stanley Cup.
I will go with 1985.
What do you got, Jeremy?
87.
That is incorrect. There's my buzzer.
What are you starting to... Throat getting a little sore?
Yeah. You can
only
do so many buzzers. All right. Clue number four. On the 18th of January of this year, Orlando Zapata signs with the Boston Red Sox, making him the first player signed by a team specifically to be a designated hitter.
And this is Jeremy first.
Yes.
84.
I will go with, I'll just stick in that ballpark. I'll say 1983. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Okay, we get our musical clue at
you
least
do.
Today.
Before you get to clue number five here, Brett, the top song of this year was Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree by Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Jeremy, how old a guy are you?
I am 33.
He has no clue that song.
All right.
Nope.
Clue number five.
the old guy's got an advantage now. Goes first?
It's you, Brett.
Okay.
We're going with the NBA. The New York Knicks, they won 4-1 over the Lakers in the NBA Finals for the previous year's season in this year. This is the year they won the finals for the past year's season.
Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. I know that song.
Good.
And it was 1975. What? Oh, no. I just tell you, Jeremy, stick with me. It's somewhere in that ballpark.
I guess I'll go 76.
Guys, we were looking for 1973 today.
Wow.
Went a little far back. I know our listener,
I thought
Jeremy's
it was within,
a little younger.
I thought I was within a year.
You
on
were close 75, with that
73.
Oh, man.
You know what, Jeremy? We're going to get you a large pizza to Pizza Hut just for calling in to play today.
I appreciate it.
And just stay on the line, Adam. Get some info real quick, and we'll make sure you get that pizza. And best of luck next time. Of course, remember, a 60-day wait before you can play again. But we do appreciate you listening. Thanks, Jeremy.
Hey, thank you.
All right, so Christopher James Menswear, they got some big specials coming up. They've got a Peter Millar trunk show that's on the way. And, I got to give you some details on a golf simulator that's going to be there. And they're going to have, they're still working out the details, but things like longest drive, closest to the pin, all kinds of fun contests for prizes. Yeah, they're going to be doing that at Christopher James Menswear. So stick with me and also check out the store, Christopher James Menswear in Covington Plaza on West Jefferson, one block west of Getz.
Now back to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Yeah, we are giving away a four-pack of tickets to qualifying at the Indy 500. If you'd like to be in today's 5 o'clock drawing, all you've got to do is text the word racing to 46862. That's racing to 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, and we will randomly select one of our texts coming up before the end of the show. Yesterday, we learned that the IHSAA is going to follow down the path of the NCAA, and I don't know how many A's I just gave you, but the IHSAA is going to free up student athletes to be able to transfer one time. At least they're studying that proposition. And joining us to talk about it from the Indy Star, covers high school sports here in the state of Indiana, Kyle Nedenrep. And Kyle, explain to me, how close is this? When they talk about a proposal, they talk about a study, what exactly does it mean when we might see this implemented by the IHSAA?
Not close, I would say. I mean, it would have to, you know, the odds of this happening, I think, are pretty small, pretty slim. And this was actually something that was proposed 8 years ago. It actually made it to a proposal stage and was, pretty roundly, unanimously voted against. So, you know, has enough time passed that maybe this could be something that could be considered, you know, possibly. And I wouldn't be surprised if it came to a proposal again. The odds of it passing, I think, are pretty low. But, you know, to be honest with you, I think people just read the headline and they're just like, oh, my goodness, what in the world? How are we doing? You know, but it's really, you know, the way things are currently in the IHSA, most transfers happen. You know, it's not like this would be, you know, some drastic measure necessarily to completely obliterate the current system. And you could argue the current system needs more stringent policy in place or more black and white policy in place. I mean, you could argue it needs less. I mean, whatever your thinking on the matter is. But, you know, I would say this would probably, what it would do is sort of allow some freedom. If you go to a school, you know, you're not, you know, you, it doesn't, it's not working out for whatever reason, whether that's athletically or you know, otherwise, it's a bad situation, you know, whatever, and it, you know, kind of frees you up to go somewhere else at that point. It doesn't mean you can just blatantly recruit kids, and you know, if there's found to be, you know, according to the what they're talking about, the rules on undue influence and all that, pass link rule would still be in place. So it's not like you can just recruit kids and sort of get away with it by the letter of the law. But yeah, I mean, the odds of this passing, I think, are maybe more than they were 8 years ago. You know, but I would still be a little bit surprised if this, you know, this isn't the only thing they're studying. You know, they're studying some other, you know, they're studying sort of basically what would be a transfer at any point. You know, and I don't think that would happen. This one, I think, has a little bit more merit to it. And, you know, if you go beyond the headline, I think there are some good things about it that could, you know, could, because I said, I think the second transfer after that would be a lot more stringent. It would be, you know, harder to do that, you know, if this would go into place. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm throwing some things out there, but as far as, you know, I'm not making an opinion one way or another, but I think there are some good things and bad things on both sides of it.
Kyle, just to be clear, with the system that's currently in place that you referenced, what is that system? How does it work right now? If somebody wants to transfer from school A to school B, what has to be in the process?
How much time do we have?
You start, I'll finish. Go ahead.
I would say part of the problem is that it's hard to, you know, it's, you know, basically the system, if you move to a school district, you know, you're eligible. If you're not, and part of this that's made it a little bit cloudy in the last decade or more has been the sort of the open enrollment that is allowed now academically, that doesn't necessarily transfer to athletics. But I would say if you look at the numbers, most kids do get eligible who transfer, you know, and there are, you know, if you look at, you know, some of the proposals that did pass this year, they're wanting to do, you know, where the principals have to have a conversation with one another, you know, to basically sign off on a transfer. It's sort of been rubber stamped in the past, and, you know, they actually want the sending and receiving principals to talk to each other, have a conversation, you know kind of what's going on before they sign off or don't sign off or whatever. As of now, you know, most, you know, I don't know what the numbers are exactly, but you kind of start with limited eligibility. Most kids do get full eligibility to play varsity sports at the school they go to. I think the problem that is run into at times is that you may look at one situation that looks identical to another, and a kid may not get eligible for whatever reason. You know, maybe the school doesn't sign off. Maybe they find something that they find problematic and don't give the kid eligibility. There's all kinds of, you know, individual cases that are, you know, varying that, you know, the one situation may look the same and one kid may not get eligible, you know, like I said. So it is, and that's where I think, you know, I haven't talked to, you know, Bobby Cox and Paul Nydig over the years sometimes. It's I think that's what gets them, you know, that's where people get confused, you know, in the process. But, you know, the vast majority of kids do get eligible and they do go to a different school, and whether the family moves or not, you know, most of the time they're going to get eligible to play. And you know, one of the things Paul Nydig has said is we want to look out for, you know, the kid at the end of the bench or the kid who has been in the system and you know, he even brought up, you know, hey, let's bring those people and let's identify who those people are and let them have a say too when we do these, you know, when we do these, you know, the review process in transfers, and let's see what they have. You know, honestly, there is, you know, there's probably some merit to that. You know, whether that that seems like that would never happen, but you know, I do get what he's saying there. If that's just talk or whatever, I don't know. I mean, it's one of the problems that also arises is they don't have the ability to police every single transfer and the time and the wherewithal to do all that. So, you know, some of the things that are said are maybe not followed through on all the time just for lack of manpower, or maybe they only get part of the story. And that's where it gets, you know, people are not always forthright and honest in this process, and we all know that goes on, and you know, there's a lot of it's just relationships and kids and coaches who know each other, whether that's through, you know, whatever, but it's you know, it's, I'd say definitely, you know, make some mistakes at times, but it's also, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't telling you the truth, you know, and trying to beat the system at times. So, you know, there's one I know of going on right now of a kid who transferred for basketball, and you know, it's the sending school's not signing off on it. So that's going to be one, you know, that'll be interesting coming up. But it's just, you know, there's obviously every case is different. Every situation's going to be a little bit different, but you know, there's no strict rule like you have to sit out for a certain amount of time and then get out. It's sort of an open-ended policy that sometimes is confusing.
Well, doesn't it take some accountability and some of the pressure off not only the commissioner but the schools when they have to decide whether or not they sign off on an athlete going somewhere? Because, I mean, there may be some situations where you absolutely positively know the kid's not moving. He's only going because that coach has talked to him. But also, the commissioner then, isn't he involved in hearing the appeals process and then trying to make a ruling? And you said they don't have a lot of manpower to police these. Doesn't that in some ways just kind of free everybody up?
You would think so. Yeah, I would think so. And I always think the more transparency and the more black and white, the better it'll be. So, yeah, I agree. It sort of frees it sort of frees up the process a little bit. That makes it less murky. You know, so yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, and maybe that's why they're trying to do, you know, or at least bring some of these things about. You know, like I said, I mean, I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to the story that I wrote, but I wanted to make people aware that, hey, this is something they're going to look at. You know, but it's not necessarily new. And also, I've written about this a few times. I've talked to Paul Neidig about this idea a few times, and Bobby Cox, you know, previously. So, I was a little bit surprised there was that much of a reaction. I think it's good, though. It gets people talking. And honestly, you know, he did say, you know, the number one thing we're looking at and the number one thing that's talked about in our office is the transfer situation. And so I think that's it's good that it's out, you know, it's being talked about. It's, something that is it's, whether you want, I don't know the right word for it. I don't want to say it's problematic because there are transfers for reasons, obviously, that are good reasons at times. But yeah, I mean, it's something that's, you know, it's happening a lot, and it causes some bad feelings for sure at times on both sides.
Kyle Nedenrep is joining us from the Indy Star. Sorry about that, Kyle, but I just have to jump in because you know, when I listen to you talk about this whole situation, I mean, I can't help but think of how the hot button or the hot topics of today's basketball, the age of basketball, are tied into college basketball. NIL, originally, when we heard about it and we knew there was a lawsuit going on about it, we thought it was guys going to get a few nickels and dimes off the sale of their jerseys. And we've seen what this has become. It's now basically open season to pay players. And then, you know, unionized and employees, everything else. And then it's the same thing when you talk transfers. Everybody has seen what it has done to the college game, where now you don't even know who the roster is going to be, who's going to stay, who's going to go. And I think that's why it's a hot topic, because you're seeing the empowerment of the athlete is now transferring into high school. And I think it scares everybody. There's a little panic involved.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think that's probably right on. I think it's, and I didn't think about that at the timing of it, but yeah, it did kind of, I think that was a big part of it. People don't want high school basketball to become what the NCAA is right now. And I don't either, you know, to be honest with you. And I don't think it will, just by the nature of this way it's set up. It really can't, to a certain point, you know, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, transfers, at least in our area and probably yours too, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, you know, some of the bigger cities, you know, kids move a lot. You know, this is not a new thing necessarily. You know, we see this all the time. Ever since I've done this job, you know, we've had, you know, lots of transfers every year. I don't know that it may be a little bit more now or, you know, but I honestly, it's been going on for a long time. So, you know, that's not anything that's necessarily new, you know, but I do think it's something that, you know, I think it would be good if IHSA would really study it further. I hope they do follow through, and I hope they, you know, I don't know what the right answer is necessarily, but I think it would be something good to really dive into and see, like, you know, what, and I think they're trying to, I'll take them at their word on that. And, you know, I do think it'd be good for the principals to have those conversations. And, you know, I do think that's important, you know, and if they follow through on that, I think that'd be great. You know, I'm not sure, you know, again, I don't know what I'm not sitting here telling you what the right and wrong answers are on this. Every state's going to do it differently, you know, and it's that's probably why no one knows the right thing to do for sure. So, but yeah, I mean, I do. And when you say that, I do agree. I think that's maybe a little bit of fear that high school becomes what college is now. And I would, you know, almost certainly say I don't think it's going to get to that point. But there is a transfer issue out there in high school basketball, and I think it's good to, you know, to address, you know, whatever those issues are and try to, you know, have some fair assessment of, you know, what the rules should be going forward.
What is the process with the IHSA for rule change like this? Does it have to have a study? Does it go back to the membership? Is it the executive board? What do you know what the process would be and how long that process would take if it were ever to come to fruition?
Yeah, there are proposals that come about each year, so it's basically annually. There's individual sport proposals that will be, let's see, that would be next year.
This isn't a formal proposal, though, right now. Is it a formal
proposal? No.
Right. It's just we want to study this for a future proposal.
Yeah, and like I said, it was proposed. It did get proposed 8 years ago. Because, so it did get to that point. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. It could be a year from now. It could be two. You know, who knows? A proposal like that, I think, can come about any year necessarily. You know, it doesn't have to be individual or team sport type of situation. But, yeah, so the a proposal can come about from a principal. It can come about from the commissioner. It can come about from a coaches association. So there's different ways to get a proposal on the table. And the IHSA in some cases, and this is a totally different topic for, you know, another segment some other day, but, you know, like the football seating situation, you uh-huh. know, where the coach association started it, but then the IHSA kind of got involved and, you know, again, that's a whole different thing, but, you know, that would be a team sport proposal that can only come about once every 2 years. So there's different ways to make a proposal. Some are very sort of, you know, just generic word changes and things like that. Some are bigger, and this one obviously would fall in the latter category of being a big a pretty big change, I would say. But yeah, I mean, I think it would come about from probably the IHSA sort of pushing it forward, talking to people, and it would probably come from, you know, maybe Paul Neidig. But honestly, I was sitting on a meeting at Plainfield a couple weeks ago now, and they do sort of these straw polls where they kind of gauge the membership and what they're thinking. And, you know, you kind of get a sense. They have six of those meetings around the state, and they kind of get a sense of what people are thinking. And then it goes before the 19-member executive board when they get to that point in April, basically, of each year. So, you know, it comes from the membership, but it can be pushed through by the IHSA to the board, or from the coach association to the board, or from a principal to the board. So it can come about from different places.
Kyle, we always enjoy having you jump on and talk to us about the IHSA, especially. Sometime I'm going to have to call you and talk about the Pacers. I saw you jumping in on the Pacers beat last week. What was that about?
Yeah, I'm helping Dustin. And when they do make the playoffs, you know, I always tell them, you know, hey, I'm game. I'm out of high school basketball, and I enjoy covering the Pacers. So they just haven't made it in a while, and I didn't cover the bubble a year. That was the last time they made it. But I did help in 19. It was a very quick exit. But, when they played the Heat back a decade ago, I helped a lot. So looking forward to Friday night, the Knicks come to town.
Yep, absolutely. Kyle, have a great one. Appreciate the time today. We'll talk to you again down the line.
All right, anytime.
Yep.
Thank you.
Kyle Nedrep from the Indy Star covers high school sports here in the state of Indiana. We'll take a quick break. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Mike Nutter, team president of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, and you're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Speaking of the Tin Caps, scheduled to get a series underway up in Comstock Park, Michigan. They'll be taking on the West Michigan Whitecaps, weather permitting.
Very good addition there at the end. Yeah, weather permitting.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to be started on time. We're told to anticipate that there may be a delayed start. Rain is supposed to be moving into the area there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But we will have the pregame at the regular time.
Yes.
Coming up at 6:15. The scheduled first pitch at this point, 6:35. But that's got a little asterisk.
Yes.
Basketball doesn't have to have an asterisk. Tonight we've got Cavaliers.
A lot of Pacers fans won an asterisk last night.
Asterisk for game one win. Cavaliers, Boston. I'll tell you what, the Cavaliers really impressed me in the series against Orlando, but
it's
Boston's best team in the East. I think Boston wins it in five.
Yeah, I don't see much excitement from this series, just from what I've seen with the Cavs struggling against a young upstart Magic team that, you know, had a good regular season but had zero to none playoff experience.
Right.
And to go to seven with what? You know, Paolo Banchero, and you know, you're up against a playoff team that's giving Joe Ingles 10 to 15 minutes per game.
Well, I think Donovan Mitchell could go Jalen Brunson for a game or two.
Mm-hmm. He's been fantastic these last couple games against the Magic. He's been driving to the rim like nobody's business.
And I think for that reason, I think he can maybe steal a win.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Boston's the better overall team.
Yeah, even without Kristaps Porzingis, who's predicted to be out for this entire series.
Is he going to be out the whole series?
That's what they said.
Man. That's been the story of the playoffs, isn't it?
Injuries. Absolutely.
Guys that are not out there that could be, should be, and would make it obviously more exciting. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't like to see teams missing a key piece. And Porzingis is not necessarily, what do you think, third guy, fourth guy?
Yeah, three or four.
White is really...
Derek White is amazing.
Derek White's been terrific for them to compliment Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Absolutely.
That series gets underway tonight. And also the one that I think will be an exciting series, Dallas and OKC.
Yeah.
OKC's a fun, young team to watch.
They are. And they're going up against a team with more playoff experience, but it's playoff experience that hasn't gone very deep with the Dallas Mavericks. They're looking for a deeper run than they've gotten so far with Luka, but they're going up against a team that doesn't know better.
I think we could be two or three years away from OKC and Orlando, perhaps.
Yeah.
Being teams that might hook up in a final.
Oh, yeah.
Two young teams with their superstars in place. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no question that he's the right guy in OKC.
Right.
And then you've got Paolo Banchero in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think those will be two fun teams to watch. But those games tonight, also last night, oh, Adam.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, man. When, the whole thing fell through on the Pacers.
Yeah.
With that really rough last minute or so.
Super tough.
Yeah. Things were going even worse down in Sunrise, Florida.
Uh-oh. I
didn't have a good night.
I don't know the final score. What? Do you even want to say it?
I don't even know what it was. 5-1, 6-1.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It was 1-0 Florida.
Oh.
And a game that was 0-0 till about the halfway point. I mean, it looked like anybody who scores a goal is going to win this game. And unfortunately, I think that was how Florida reacted to scoring. It was almost like they let their guard down because they thought, oh, we got one. Because, man, that Swayman, who's in the Nets for Boston, he has been unbelievable in the playoffs. And so Florida finally gets one past him, and about a minute later, Boston answers.
Oh, man.
And from that point on, it was like all Boston.
They poured it on.
It was 2-1, then 3-1.
Oh, no.
Then in the third period, 4-1, then 5-1.
And you turned it off at some point.
I had to give up. I had to go. I had to leave. I had to find something else to watch.
And that was down in Sunrise, too.
I think I watched Dr. Pimple Popper after that. No, I had to find something besides watching. I don't know what I watched last night.
Your sports teams lose.
Say yes to the dress. Anything was better than trying to suffer through the Boston-Florida game last night, especially when I was already a little down because the Pacers had blown the game last night, that I thought they had a chance to win, and I knew I'd have to deal with you today.
Hey, I feel like I've been pretty fair.
You've been pretty fair. You clearly you're a Knicks fan,
right? But I can admit that we did get some calls. Absolutely,
get some favorable treatment.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break. We've got when we come back, I got to tell you about a cruise that you might want to go on, Adam.
Okay, I'm
excited. Just tell you, you might want to get your ticket,
okay.
Get lined up. I'll tell you about it coming up next.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the best glass company of them all?
Never a good thing when you have your annual physical and the doctor asks if you've made pre-arrangement decisions. No, actually, a good score today. I feel pretty good. Everything moved in the right direction as far as testing and numbers, and so I am ready to go out and run a marathon.
Let's do it.
No, not really.
Okay.
But I do have to tell you about this. Maybe I'm ready to go on a cruise to celebrate, because a cruise ship has just announced that they are planning a nude cruise.
Oh.
You will be allowed to bare all on the big nude boat.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Now, you can't, in the dining room, got to be wearing clothes. If you're going to be sitting on any of the public benches or anything at the pool, you've got to be on a towel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not going to leave any marks or anything like that. But I guess you can just prance around in the hallways in your birthday suit.
No swimsuit required.
No clothing required. Nothing.
Makes packing easy.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you worry about packing and where you're going to store all your clothes for a one-week cruise. Well, you don't have to worry about it.
Don't need them.
Don't need them on the big nude boat.
I don't think I'll be signing up.
I don't know, but I would like to go to the dock and wave them off and send them off. I may not be on the cruise, but I'd like to go and do my part.
Yeah, it's like, how close are they allowed to get to shore?
Yeah. And that does it for today's edition of the Sports Rush. We are coming back tomorrow. Hump Day edition of the Sports Rush 4-6. Big thanks to our guest, Pat Boylan, the Pacers radio broadcaster and Fever play-by-play broadcaster, and Kyle Nedrett from the Indy Star. Tin Caps Baseball comes your way soon on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.